Hallelujah. James chapter 3. We've been on a series that we titled what? Get Wisdom. And we've learned a lot of things. You know, we've learned about the definition of wisdom. I believe you know that by heart already. The reason I keep repeating these things is so that it will register in your spirit. Anything that you forget, you can't enjoy. Did you know that? You've got to remember. It's when you remember that it benefits you. And we've learned about what? We've learned about the characteristics. We've learned about the benefits of wisdom. We've learned about people, examples of people who walked in wisdom. And what was the last example that, what was the last characteristic we dealt with on? Wisdom excels. It excels. Wisdom puts in the best. In everything that he does, he puts in the best. If you are a minister in worship in the church, are you putting in your best? Your best. Are you a children's church teacher? Are you putting in your best? You see, when you don't put in your best, the people around you lose out. That's the truth. If you're in a company and you're not putting in your best, the company is losing. If you are in a family and you're not putting in your best in that family, your family is losing out. Because there is a reason God put that thing in you. It's not just for yourself, it's for the benefit of the people around you. Amen. Amen. And all of the people we see in Scripture that God uses as examples, Hebrews 11, all of them, it is there because they put in their best. Amen. Hallelujah. They did not think of themselves. They were thinking of how they will walk with God and put in there. As a pastor, am I putting in my best? Hallelujah. As an usher, are you putting in? You can ask yourself, have I put in the best that I could do? If you are not, we are missing out. Praise God. So we still got it one more. I think one more that we're going to look at. But I want us to look at another aspect of wisdom today. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? It's a question mark, isn't it? So if it's a question mark, what do you think the writer of James was asking? He's expecting the people that will read this letter to pause. You are not supposed to just read on. So if he says there's a question there, I need to answer it. I don't want you to put your hand up. Are you wise? Do you have understanding? Amen. You're smiling. That's a good sign. Anyway, look at what it says. Let him show it. You see. It is not that you say I am wise. Not that I say I have understanding. I have to show it. So it is by showing it that people will know whether I am wise or not. And it says, how am I going to show it? By what? A good conduct. Conduct. This is important. You know, these things matter to God. Because that's what determines if you are wise or not. You are a representative of God. You're representing him. We are the ambassadors of Christ. Hallelujah. So we represent him. And that's why it says it's got to be shown. Don't show it by just talking. Show it by a good conduct. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That his works are done in what? In meekness of wisdom. So if you want to show that you are wise and you are understanding, you show it through your conduct, through your behavior. And that's why we said the definition of wisdom that I believe the Spirit of God gave to me is to be skillful in applying your abilities, your conduct, your behavior, your words, everything. You are so skillful in it that you show it, the world sees it. When you speak, they will know whether you're wise or not. Do you say wise things or foolish things? Or do you just talk anyhow? I just speak. Anything can come out of my mouth. No, that's not wise because I've got to show it. It is by showing. And so he said that his works are done In the meekness of wisdom. What does it mean, meekness of wisdom? You know, one of the great characteristics that Jesus described himself, he said, I am meek and lowly of heart. Because the opposite of meekness is pride. Wisdom is not proud. Wisdom is meek. Wisdom is humble. And this is so important. Wisdom is not aggressive. Wisdom does not try to promote itself. It's meek. Let him show it through his works that are done in meekness of what? Of wisdom. Let's look at verse 14. Verse 14. Before we go on to verse 14, I wanted to let you know, do you remember the message as we were entering the new year? We did the car dashboard. If you were not here, don't worry. But if you were here and you don't remember, amen. Hallelujah. Do you have the picture? Do you have the image? So we displayed the car dashboard and we said in the journey of life, when you are traveling, isn't it? You've got the gauges and the meters. And they tell you, they help your journey, isn't it? So if you see that everything is okay, the gauges are reading, everything's reading right, what do? You cruise. And so it is in life. There are gauges that you need to check that they are right in the journey of life. It would be unwise not to be aware of those gauges. You just enter the car where whatever is showing, you just drive. Hallelujah. So we need to learn those gauges. There are gauges, and we talked about them, but they are also warning lights. And that's important, because the warning lights, once they come up, really, what should you do? You need to check it out. It means there is something not good. So the warning lights are telling you that this journey is going to have a problem. So a wise person will do what? Will stop to check it out and make sure they sort out the issue. Now, this is half into the year. I want us to look at warning lights. You know, wisdom will give you warning lights. That these areas we need to check. Because if we don't check it, what's going to happen to that vehicle? The journey will be stunted because the vehicle is going to stop. And of course, you don't even want it to happen. That's why you service your car. Make sure your car is always in good condition. You know, it's okay if it's a car. How about if it's an aeroplane? Amen. So the higher you want to go, hallelujah. If you want to stay on the ground, you can do some little checks. But if you want to go high in life, you do more checks. Hallelujah. You observe warnings. And so this is designed to take us higher because it is our year of what? Elevation. We want to be elevated, uplifted. So we need to check the warning signs. So he says, verse 14, James chapter 3, verse 14. Do you have it? Hallelujah. He said, but if you have, if you have bitter envying, and strive in your hearts. Is it possible to have bitter envy? Is it possible to have strife? Yes. You know, strife means contention, always contending, animosity, division. He says, glory not. Now, why will he say glory not? You mean somebody has strife and... Because they are giving reason for why they are like that. That means you, before God, you are glorifying it. He says, don't glory in it. And do not lie against the truth. So we need to get rid of envy, jealousy. We need to get rid of strife. Hallelujah. He says, if you have it... So that's another thing. You know, when you see your wife, you think about, yeah, my wife, I show it. If I have envy, if I have jealousy towards people, or I'm striving with people, striving, Is he striving with people? He says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, let's go on. Verse 15. This wisdom descended not from above. Why will he call envying and strife wisdom? Because the more you practice it, it becomes your wisdom. It becomes your own way of life. It's not calling it wisdom as in wisdom. He's trying to say that strife and envying has become your lifestyle. That's the wisdom by which you operate. You are not operating by it. So that's your wisdom. That's your enlightenment. That's your insight. That's your foresight. Everything you do is based around it. Always jealous, always envious, always fighting, always divided, always, you're just contentious. Now, he's talking to believers. Amen? It doesn't mean God does not love you, but they are warning lights, warning signs that will stop a person in their journey of life. He says it does not descend from above, but it is what? It is earthly. It's of this earth. That's what people of this earth do. You know, another place calls strife selfish ambition. That is, you will ride over people to get forward. I'm going to push everybody. I've got to get to the front. It's got to be me. Everything has to revolve around me. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how it is. I must go first. Selfish ambition. You know, wisdom, the Bible says wisdom promotes. Every person, I told you about Daniel. Daniel never promoted himself. In fact, they had to search him out to promote him. Joseph, did he promote himself?
No.
No. In fact, he was demoted. It didn't matter to him. He was still treating people right. He was still looking after the well-being of people in prison. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is how you identify the wisdom from God and the wisdom. If I look at what they call it, but it is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. Now, this is serious business. If something is called devilish, other translations call it demonic. Some people say, I want to cast out demons. That demon is already there. Until you get rid of envy and jealousy and fighting and division and all of those things, it is not of God. You say, it does not come from where? From above. Amen. Look at verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is what? Confusion and every evil work. So when these things are present, if it's present in a home, in a family, that home will be full of confusion and all. You see, you will be amazed at all the things that will be happening. It's like their house is upside down. The marriage is upside down. The children, everything is upside down. The church, upside down, where these things are present. So this is one in light, isn't it? Amen. You see, where envy and strife is, there is confusion. That is, there is darkness. You can't see clearly. And you can imagine every evil work that you can think of is present. Verse 17. But the wisdom, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, the wisdom that is from where? From above is what? Is first pure. A pure heart, an honest heart, a clean heart, not a heart that is cluttered. You know, we talked about decluttering. Was it last year? To declutter. You've got to declutter your heart. The wisdom that is from God is first. The first in it is pure. There's no envy there. There's no fighting there. There's no animosity there. It is pure. Then it is what?
Peaceable.
Hallelujah. That's why we mentioned Solomon. Solomon did not fight any war because he asked God for what? For wisdom. Wisdom. Praise God. Jesus said, love your enemies. You say, well, I know that scripture is there, but anytime you are envious and you are jealous and you are having all of those things, it means you are devilish. Amen. I didn't say you're a devil. Devilish. He says it's pure and peaceable, gentle. It's easy to be entreated. You see, the key word there is this wisdom is peaceful. It believes in peace. Because the opposite of strife is peace. You see, strife is like battle all the time. I'm ready for a fight. If they touch me, oh yeah. They will know who I am. They will see my what? My true colors. Don't you know your true colors is the color of Christ? You know, but really what we say is that they will see what my flesh will manifest. This is my own wisdom. I have my own way of operating. I have my own way of dealing with matters. Nobody can mess with me. But there will be confusion and every evil work. Really, what that means is that you are giving room for the devil. You just give yourself to him and say, do maximum damage. Because the devil can't do anything unless you give him room. That's why it says, resist the devil. What will he do? He will flee. So don't invite him. The way you invite him is through doing his own works. So he says, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. That is, even if somebody wrongs a person who has godly wisdom, it's so easy. The moment they come and say, oh, we need to settle this matter, okay, that's fine. I forget about it. It's all over. It's easy. You know, there are some people, you go 10 times, you haven't started. You go with an entourage, they're still angry. They say, you don't know. I'm a stubborn person. Everybody knows me. But the wisdom that is from above, easy. The moment you start, you say, no, don't, we don't need to talk about it. Just, it's gone. Hallelujah, it's over. Easy to be entreated. Full of what? Mercy and good fruits. You see, behavior, conduct is good fruits, good coming out of him. It's full of it. And the reason I'm talking about is you've got to load yourself with godly wisdom. Because what you are full of is what you will exhibit. Anything you are full of will come out of you. Anything you are full of. And that's why it's a warning, isn't it? To make sure that I fill myself with the right thing. The Bible says a good man, you know why a person is good? It says the good that is stored in the heart. So if I want to be good, what do I need to do? I store good in my heart. If I want to be bad, I store bad in my heart. Easy. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. Verse 18, let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, and the fruit of righteousness, I'm going to explain this later, is sown in peace. Can you see the byword, the key word there is what? It's peace. Your gentleness, because you are a peaceful person. The person who is not peaceful is not gentle. It's rash and rough. So you are doing, Lord, you say, the fruit of righteousness is sown in what? In peace of them that make peace. What he's trying to say is that when you see righteousness as a harvest, that's what I mean by the fruit of righteousness. When you see righteousness, if you come into a home and you see righteousness, everything is going well. It's pleasant, it's lovely, it's beautiful. If you go into a marriage, you go into a school, you go into a church, you go everywhere and there's righteousness. Everybody's smiling and happy. It means some people sowed peace. They planted peace, and when peace grew, it became what? Righteousness. So it's peacemakers who plant peace. So we need more peacemakers in the church so that they are sowing peace. And then the church will begin to thrive. The home will begin to thrive. The family will begin to thrive. Praise God. I said, praise God. So what do we need to do? I need to evaluate myself, isn't it? Because the question is to me, who is wise among you? And do you have envy and strife? Do you have it? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. One in lights. Say, but if we evaluated and judged ourselves, the word judge is really to evaluate, to examine yourself. Honestly, recognizing our what? Our shortcomings. We all have shortcomings, don't we? Yes. But you know, if your car is showing red, it means the car has shortcomings. You don't say, well, that's fine. No, you deal with it, isn't it? And correcting our behavior, we will not be judged, that we will not suffer the consequences of that fault, of all those things, if we are evaluating and checking ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Envy and strife, they bring what? Confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. You know, even if, the thing about strife is, even if you are right, the moment you go into strife, you are wrong. Did you catch that?
Yes.
You know, when Joseph was put in jail, in prison, was he right?
Yes.
He was right. Who was wrong? Potiphar was wrong. What did he fight?
No.
Because once you get into strife, you become wrong. And you will fall short of the glory of God. In fact, I believe strongly that a lot of things, including physical ailments, they are as a result of the burden of the weight of strife and envy and jealousy that people carry. That's what causes most of it, I'm convinced. There are scriptures for it. Because when your heart is clean and pure, there's an energy that you have. There's an energy, there's an ease. There's less stress on your bones, less stress on your body, less stress on your muscles. You are at ease and at peace. Come on now. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Let me read it quickly in the Amplified version, if we have time. Amplified quickly. Do you have the Amplified? It says, who is there among you who is what? Wise and intelligent. Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the what? Unobtrusive. What is unobtrusive? That is, it's not badging onto things. Humility, which is the proper what? Attribute of true wisdom. Keep going. But if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, you see, contention. You know, this is something that we all have to work on. You know, sometimes we start something and then we start contending. Just let it go. Tell somebody, let it go. You know, that's a good piece of advice, to let it go. Let it go. Because even if you are right, you will be wrong once you start contending. And that's it. So you don't want to get into that. It says rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. Keep going, verse 15. This is the message. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but it is what? Earthly, unspiritual, animalistic. Amen. Even what? Devilish, demoniacal. Even that word, to pronounce it. Can you imagine? That's what you are operating it. Something that we don't even want to pronounce. Hallelujah. Verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion. Look at confusion. Unrest. Disharmony. Rebellion. You know, sometimes you see maybe children, they are raised and they become rebellious. What happened to them? Because in that home, there was confusion and rivalry and all of those things going on, and they were a byproduct of it. They just become rebellious. And all sorts of evil and vile practices, praise God. Amen. Keep going, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled, then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, it is willing to what? To yield to reason. Full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and what? And unfeigned, free from doubts or wavering and insincerity. Next verse. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace, which does what? Which means concord, see, agreement, and harmony. Praise God. Between individuals with undisturbedness. Is that the right way to pronounce it? Undisturbedness. In a peaceful mind, free from what?
Fears.
Why won't you be healthy if you are free from fears and you're undisturbed? And it says, fears. Agitating passions. You know, anytime you find yourself agitated, relax and say, I'm swaying into the territory of devilish wisdom. This has become devilish now. But I'm not of the devil.
Amen.
I'm of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Oh, thank you, Master. Look at Genesis chapter 13. There's so much more, but I'll be rounding up. Genesis 13 from verse 5. Let's look at an example. Look at Abraham. Abraham is the uncle of Lot. Abraham, God blessed him. God called him. God did not call Lot. Now, because of Abraham, Lot has become wealthy. Let's see what Lot also went with Abraham. So he was prosperous because he went with Abraham. And had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6, remember this is our scripture for the year. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together. It means they were so wealthy. They had too many goods. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife. There was what? Strife. How did Abraham know what to do when he didn't read James? When you walk with God, you know who God is. You know his character. You know what he likes and what he doesn't like. You don't have to read a book to know it, because it is settled in your spirit. You know God. That's what it means to know him, to have understanding, the fear of the Lord. That reverence for God will cause you to know how God is. What matters to him and what does not matter to him. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Keep going, verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, oh my God, please, how can he, an uncle, he's the one in charge. He is the one that God called. He should have told Lot, look, you better make sure you behave yourself. Better make sure you do this. Otherwise, I'll take from you all of the things that I gave you. If not for me, who will you be? Who will you? It is me. You know, you start boasting. Pride starts coming in. And then you start getting agitated. Then you start conflict. Then this will blow out and become an all-out war. Look at it. It said, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Oh, hallelujah. This is beautiful. Let there be no strife. Now, it's not the whole land before you. You see, what happens, people who are not wise, they let things agitate them. Oh, you just took my car. You took the house. Oh, you took more. You took a larger share. You know, when we're young, as children, when we're little, I'm still young. Amen. Some of you grew up in homes where they give you all the food you need. We had to share. Fire on the mountain. And everybody's trying to play tricks. They put a bowl in front of you and you have to share. Even times when they will bring you a sweet, you know, sweet, and you have to crack it and share it. And you crack it and you're trying to make sure that the one that comes to you is the biggest one. It's war over sweet. And the sweet is no sweet. I'm telling you, it was bittersweet. But what I'm saying is contention. And we are brothers and we are sisters. You know, we are contending for that because everybody wants a good share. But the man of peace does not contend. He doesn't contend. He said, look, the land is before us. Look at what he said. Separate from me. If you take the left, oh my God, this man is willing to do whatever to remove strife. How far are you willing to go to stop strife in your life, in your home, in your family, in the church, to stop it, to exterminate it, to have zero tolerance for strife? Because strife will bring confusion and all manner of evil. So he says, if you go to the right, left, I'll take the right. If you take to the right, I'll go to the... Amazing. But you know what Lot did? Lot looked, he searched. He's a man of strife. He's a man of contention. Selfish ambition. Ooh, my uncle is such a fool. He's giving me opportunity to choose. I will show him. What he should have done is say, uncle, you know, every time I've been with you, you took me in when my parents passed on. You've been looking after me. You know what's right for me. You take yours and give me, but not Lot. You know, if you know the end of Lot, oh, hallelujah. Because that's what happens. It says confusion and all manner of evil. He just escaped by the skin of his teeth. Because of things he didn't want to leave. So he looked at the land and he chose for himself. Well, look at Abraham. We're still talking about Abraham today. His wealth, his riches. Hallelujah. Amen. His inheritance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let there be no strife between us. The Bible says, blessed are the what? The peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So the people who are not peacemakers, what would they be called? He said, this wisdom is not from above. It is what? Devilish. See, people who don't make peace, it is not of God. They will not be called the children of God. Not that they are not children of God, but people will not call them it. You understand what I mean? Yeah. You know, if you're acting in a particular way, people say, and she calls herself a Christian, he calls himself. But you know, if you act the right way, people say, oh, he's a Christian. You know, people will even come and ask you, say, oh, are you a Christian? No wonder. You've been acting so right. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Because of time, we'll close for tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, come on, let's thank God for his word. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you for his love. Because he loves us. He shows us areas where we need change, where we need adjustment. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive this word with meekness, meekness. Karabasha kandaraba. Oh, thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. And Lord God, we know that by your Spirit we declutter. Thank you because we have pure, pure heart. We are people of peace. I'm a man of peace. Peace in our homes, peace in our families, peace in our Everywhere we go, we are carriers of peace. There's peace in our church. And Lord God, just like the blessings came on Abraham, so shall we continue to see the blessings. Same way that Joseph was blessed. Lord God, thank you. We have that blessing, the blessings of Abraham. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, our homes are devoid of strife, devoid of contention, devoid of rivalry. No rivalry between sisters, no rivalry between brothers and sisters. None at all. Zero. Because we are people of peace. Because we are wise. And we have understanding hearts. We know that promotion only comes from you.